Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Today I went to Domaine, LA, and I got some rosé wine, and I walked here from there, and on the way I stopped at Starbucks and had a little poop.
What was the bathroom code?
I don't know. There was a lineup, so I just had the door held open for me.
You just did the classic homeless person move, yes. Sneaking behind someone else.
Yeah, it's me.
Hey, everyone, and you're listening to... Wait. Hey, everyone. I've never fucked up the intro to Babe before.
Do you want me to go upstairs
a first time
for a minute?
For everything. So you don't have to look at me. Because then you'd have to come right back down in 2 seconds.
Okay.
Hey, everyone. You're listening to Babe. I'm your host, Lara Marie Shane Halls, and here with me today is a babe you might recognize from some of my other creative endeavors, or you may not, and now it's time to get to know him.
I think America's ready.
America's ready.
Your readers are ready.
For Graydon Shepherd.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good.
We haven't seen each other in a long time.
I know, it's been a few weeks.
You've been away.
Yeah.
Our last night was a triumphant night.
It was.
Can we talk about this?
Of course. I'd love to, because it's like we achieved it, so we can talk about it.
Yeah. So Graydon and I decided that we were going to team together, but be each other's support system for trying a new thing called open mic night stand-up comedy.
New to us.
A new thing that no one's ever heard of called stand-up. And you had the good idea. So we've been to three open mics?
No, only two.
Oh, two open mics.
Yeah.
One was to suss it out.
Yeah.
And get a sense of a lay of the land, if you will.
Yeah. And we don't want anyone to know where we go.
No, yeah. This is a us journey.
Yeah.
And you'll be looped in accordingly, when the time is right, which maybe never.
Well, but we've already been invited to,
now we're
potentially join an actual show. So
now we're on the scene. Because we checked it out once, which was a good call on your part to the lay of the land, scope out.
And then, we have to talk about the babe who was there.
Oh, yeah. And then so the scope out. There were literally 30 people got up to do 5 minutes or something like that. We were there from 8 to 11:30.
Yeah.
And we watched, did we watch the whole thing?
I think we left before the last two people, because he kept taking names and anybody who came in at 11 was still going up at 11:30. So
it was the never ending open mic. Ugh. We did almost stay the whole time, but then we were we have to call it a day.
Yeah.
But so there's a whole array of people that go there. Some are bad. Mm-hmm. Some are really funny.
Yeah.
Some are just who cares? But what I was surprised at was that there was a really hot guy.
He was really hot.
A really hot guy walked in.
Yeah.
Midway through the night, and we made eye contact, and then he stopped and asked me a question. Do you see that?
No, I was maybe... No,
I don't know what. I don't know. I think you were sitting there, but maybe not. But he stooped down and asked me a question. And I was like, oh my God, this is our moment.
Oh
I answered his question. And then he went to go sit down. And I was like, wow, this hottie is here and I'm here. This is a wild coincidence. Yeah. He talked to me. He sees me. I see him. So I was waiting and waiting for his like moment to go on the stage. And then he got on the stage and we realized that he was blackout drunk.
Yeah.
And like had been the entire night.
Yeah.
Then he proceeded to do a set of comedy.
It was amazing.
In a blackout.
Yeah. There's no way he remembers that.
No.
Because he just at one point just like, well, first he was like, if I have a bad set tonight, I'm going to jump out this window. It's like, wow, that's
cool.
Sets the tone. And then.
But there was a fake window on the side. Yeah, so then he tried to like pantomime, like jumping out of it. And then realized that joke was not a lol.
No, it wasn't landing. And then he at one point just like stood on the stage for like a full minute and stared out at everyone.
Yeah. Power move.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of sexy.
Then he kept saying like, I'm so fucking drunk.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so drunk.
Yeah. And then he was like apologizing. And then he was like, I'm never getting invited back here. Am I?
And it's like not an invitation type of thing.
You just go.
You just like literally show up. And then in like, it was like out of a movie.
It was perfect.
And then like, he was like, oh man, like I fucked this up. Like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then like tried to like get off the stage and broke a glass on the stage. And like, then like fell, like kind of was stumbling around. It was like, truly, I was like, my barometer for assessing like a hot, eligible man is officially like completely broken. And in that moment, I felt more broken than I ever have felt before. Mm-hmm. But it was fun because you were there.
Yeah, it was amazing. Oh my God. And then just, yeah, it was great. So then we were like, okay, we'll take the week to prepare.
Yeah.
Because it was five minutes is a long
time. It's a long time to tell jokes.
Yeah. When we've never done it before. Like, usually I think open mics are like 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, so we took the week to prepare.
We wrote
our... I did and you didn't.
Yeah, you wrote like a set. I was like, I'm going to wing this. Yeah. Then I realized like, that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
So you came over and like we practiced for each other.
Yeah. And I'm so glad because I got up and did my set. I bombed to my only fan. Your face was so funny. You were just like
trying
to smile
to be positive
and just like trying to nod along, but it wasn't
could
working.
You tell that I was
you didn't like it. I could tell.
I can't hide my emotions.
No, nor should you. That was the whole point. So you helped me and you made my whatever a lot better.
And then you
told your stories and then we found some good jokes in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we set out, we went to the venue.
Yeah. And we were on top of the world. We were like, we got this.
Yeah.
We're going to kill it tonight.
And we go in and like, it was the same as last time. Like there were a couple comics already there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we like sit down and they're like, hey, are you part of the show tonight? And we're like, well,
we're like, yeah, hope, fingers crossed. You never know.
Wanna get our
names? What the order will be.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, this is an open mic.
We had accidentally gone to like a real show. So then we just stayed because we were like, we're here anyways.
Well, but then they were like, well, if there's time, you can go up.
Oh, yeah. And we were like, hell
sure,
yes. We were like, we bypassed the open mic thing and now are just like booked on a stage.
We did it.
Yeah. And then our names didn't get called.
No.
And we watched the whole show with like 5 other people in the audience.
It got busier, though.
Remember,
there was Lauren, and then, like, she went up, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then her, like, Saturday Night Live boyfriend.
Oh, my God.
Yikes. Who was like, I sexually assaulted somebody. Why did they fire me?
He was like, lolling about being invited to the Emmys, even though he'd been fired from his job on Saturday Night Live because he, like, sexually harassed someone at work.
It was awful.
And then was like, and, like, I can watch someone bomb and stand-up, and I love it. Like, I like an uncomfortable, bad stand-up thing.
It's
like, it's like a Vanderpump Rules for me.
Mm.
But I don't like, a white man...
No.
Laughing about his like sordid sexual assault history.
It was like, oh, it's a hard time to be a white man, like kind of a vibe.
Mm-hmm. There's always one.
Yeah.
There's always at least one, if not like 5. depending on where you are.
Yes. Yeah.
So we were both like, we hate him.
Well, but then I was like, I remember on the way back, I had all these jokes ready for if I'd been able to go up.
Yeah, you were going to roast him.
Well, it used to be my dream to write on Saturday Night Live, but if they're anything like this asshole, that dream is dead.
Yeah, that would have been really iconic.
Yeah, that would have been so fun.
So we waited and waited for our moment to go up to the stage, but it didn't happen. But then after the show, we networked.
Ugh, so hard.
So hard.
Somebody whose name I completely forget.
I don't remember anyone that we talked to.
Yeah.
And then we were like, we became friends with like all the comics. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, we did it. Like, we've risen the ranks in comedy. And we didn't even have to like do a show or a set.
We got all the reward with like none of the effort.
Just making each other laugh and then going there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was great.
So we're stand-up comics now.
Yeah.
A tour is happening where you get to come and we don't go up.
Yeah. Where you come or we don't tell you where it is and you just have to be like supportive from the sidelines.
But I love, like, I want to keep going to open mics and not putting our names in the hat and just being like, oh, darn, we didn't get up.
Yeah. Like, this happens every time. It's so weird. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
I have all my jokes. Yeah. Like, I'm dying to get up there and just, like, make people laugh. Yeah. But who knows if it'll happen.
Yeah.
Maybe someday.
Yeah.
See you next week.
Just become part of the community.
We'll become part of the scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I love a good scam.
I love a scam.
Yeah. So,
our stand-up careers got put on hold while you were in Canada.
Yeah,
now that you're back.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to totally go do an open mic when I was in Canada.
Did you do one?
No, God, no.
That's me with working out.
I've already accomplished it. Yeah.
I'm always like, I'll pack two sets of workout clothes. And when I'm on this trip, like, I'll just work out twice. And then I like walk up a staircase and then I'm feeling like it was solved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't.
Yeah. Speaking of the staircase, one of the readers went to a David Rudolph like event.
Oh my God.
Is
this the one you were going to go to, or is that coming
up? It was in North Carolina.
Okay.
Which I wanted to go to, but I think this was the one in North Carolina. Yeah. It must have gotten postponed because of like the hurricane stuff. It didn't, because it's only October 4th. I have lost track of what day it even is. I, for some reason, thought it was like late October.
Oh, no.
But no, it's not. It was a few days ago was the staircase thing.
Yeah.
And he asked, he had written me, William, the reader, and was like, no.
Okay.
But William had written me and was like, hey, do you have any questions? Like, I can submit a question on your behalf. And he like will answer questions that people submit.
God. How big is it?
So inches or centimeters or both. But I asked him like, how did it feel? Like, how did you bounce back from like failing basically? And like, how did it affect you? Well, and like, and then he answered that question.
Wow.
And William low-key taped it and sent me a tape. And I'm proud to report that David's hotter than ever.
Oh.
And his wife, Sonia, interviews him on these events. So it's like a doubly sexy affair. And then you're just like,
wait,
God.
Because she's sexy too, or because it's more dangerous because she's
sexy,
there?
No, she's sexy too. And like, I really support their love for each other.
Yeah.
And like, I love their origin story. So I'm like here for it.
What's their? I don't know it. Have you already?
They
told
met
it
on the stair on during the documentary.
Oh,
it's on camera the moment that they like meet each other.
Oh,
and they're both giving off like supreme fuck vibes.
Oh wow,
she's like twirling her hair, and he's like sitting back in a chair, like chuckling, and it's just like these two are going to bone.
Wait, and then is it the original?
Yeah.
Wow.
She's like she's a reporter at the time. So she had her whole like news crew and a microphone.
Oh,
and she was like, can I ask you a question? He's like,
that could have been you.
I know. I was like, why wasn't I born 40 years ago?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Or no, like 50 years ago. Yeah, I don't know. Their love is ageless to me. So. But then it made me want to cycle back to my original goal of getting David on this podcast.
Oh my God, you can do it.
I can do it.
Yeah.
He DM'd me when I followed him on Twitter. And then I never DM'd back because I got scared.
What did he say?
He said, thanks for the follow. If you want any additional info about the staircase, you can look at my website.
Is that like an auto reply?
It might be an auto reply, but right. It felt like he gave me a follow back too. Ooh. And a DM. Ooh. So now I just have to take it to the next level.
Well, maybe they're like a poly couple.
Maybe.
Never know.
We all know I'm bi, so.
Yeah, perfect fit.
Perfect.
Me and my grandparents. What's that M. Night Shyamalan movie? That's what it should. That's what the twist should have been.
Nana and when Nana and Papa, the kids go over to the Nana's house. Yeah.
There's like a gas. Sorry if you haven't seen it. I haven't seen it either.
Is there a gas leak?
That's what it is. I think it's like carbon monoxide or something, and they're going insane because there's a gas leak.
That's not. You made that entirely up. That is not the twist in that movie.
I think.
No.
That's what I heard.
What? Did you even watch that movie?
No, I didn't watch it.
You want to know the twist?
What is
it's
it?
A really good twist. Oh, okay. I do know it, and that's why I'm laughing because
I've
like
been duped.
So that.
Are they going like they're not Alzheimer's even, or something?
No, they're not even their grandparents. They're just two like oldies that killed randomly and then are like masquerading as these grandparents, but they're not.
How did the kids get dropped off, or did they take them from somewhere?
I don't remember, but I know that they were not. It turned out that they were like, I think like crazy escapees from like a nursing home or something.
Oh, okay.
And then they kill, but then I don't know how they like interacted with the parents. I can't remember. I want to rewatch now because it actually is a really good movie.
Oh, okay.
But they were not carbon monoxide. But you should write that movie.
Yeah. The Leak.
The Leak.
Uh huh.
And whenever the leak hits you, it makes you pee, and then that's how you involuntarily piss yourself, and then you become crazy.
Yeah, the pee is poison.
Yeah.
What?
Speaking of pee, this is a good segue into Star is Born.
Oh yes, the pee moment.
The pee moment.
Yeah.
Okay, so full disclosure. I love Star is Born.
Ugh, I knew it. I knew you would.
And you
did not.
You hate it.
I was like, when it first came out, I'm like, oh, this is going to be so awful and so cheesy. And then I kind of got really excited about it because of all the press and all the good reviews. And Kyle, my boyfriend, he got us tickets and like we're both Gaga fans. And yeah, so it was exciting. And then I was like, I loved it all. Like, I was like, oh, this is so much more funny and sweet than I thought it would be. Like, the whole scene in the drag club and with Willem and Shangela. And, like, I thought that was all super fun. And I really liked where it was going. Where it fell apart for me was her career and how bad her songs were and her, like, everything was. And she was like, that was amazing. I had such a great time on stage. Get these dancers away from me. And, like, I just didn't believe that stuff. Oh, and also, so before the movie, they played this like featurette with all the characters talking about, or all the actors talking about how amazing it was to be on set.
Oh, wow.
And all that stuff. And like, it was a little bit fine. It was whatever. And then Sam Elliott was like, well, Bradley Cooper, you know, it was amazing to see him change his voice to be like mine. And then it was like, that's all I could hear for the whole movie was like Bradley Cooper doing a weird...
Doing his version of Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to be... Your nose is beautiful to me.
I love Bradley Cooper's voice in that movie.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been sexy if I didn't know he was like...
Yeah, if you hadn't gotten the spoiler.
Yeah.
The carbon monoxide spoiler about his voice.
His voice. So, and then... And then my other thing was that, like, at the end, like, that she sang that song. There are going to be spoilers here, people, but I won't say why. She sings this song that's supposed to be very powerful and emotional.
At the
very
end.
Very, very end.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've never heard, like, even a melody from that earlier, like, a theme from that earlier in the movie. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, hard to be moved by a song when you're hearing it for the first time, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Do you like La La Land?
No.
So there you go. I love La La Land.
Oh my God. Ew, get out of here. I forgot about that. I actually did just I was like, in order to be friends, yeah. I'll have to just like completely forget that you like that movie. And then you just remembered.
Yeah.
You just remembered me.
I remembered you. I mean, I get it. It's cheesy and all that stuff, but at least like you, I don't know. You can't compare them, but in a way,
they
have an emotion. Like they have that ending where they do recap the whole thing with the themes from the movie, and you're like, oh my god, that's so cool. I don't know, it's not cool, but the musical so cool. geek in me liked it. So
no, yeah, I mean that I was definitely getting like La La Land vibes in certain parts, or like was able to see the parallels, but still appreciated that it wasn't La La Land.
Yeah.
Like so precious as that.
Yeah. Yes. It was like a gritty law. Like it would.
Her career moved really quickly. I will say like, I was like, how long did this span over? Was this like a 5-year period? Like we lost track of time.
Yeah.
And then her career was like, had taken off and her star was on the rise, which is like, I guess a thing that happens to certain art. Like I feel like Dua Lipa did that maybe. Yeah.
Well, and Gaga herself like went crazy super fast. So like after working hard, but
yeah, so that was wild to me. But then I also just like love, like I'm a sucker for any sort of, I'm a sucker for that kind of story.
Yeah.
Of just like a someday my prince will come kind of vibe.
Pull you out of the audience and like make you a star.
Yeah. And like, also I just really, I love like an alcoholic, much to my own detriment. So like Bradley Cooper, like fumbling around and like mumbling like unintelligible words and just be always like nuzzling. I was like, that's all that I want.
Right.
Except no booze.
Well, I thought like it was like,
don't fall over.
Yeah.
But like do but everything do else.
You just want somebody with vertigo or like,
yeah, like a disability of some sort that makes them mumble and kind of lean into me.
Maybe carbon monoxide and poisoning.
Be like a cutie. Yeah. It sounds very carbon monoxide-y.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it.
Yeah. There you go.
So I liked that. I liked his songs. I've been listening to the soundtrack.
I liked the songs. I did.
For yeah. Sure. And now I like the last song. Now that I've listened to the soundtrack like 3 times and have the full context, I'm like, oh, this song is good and I love it.
Yeah.
But like before I was like, this is feels like a Whitney Houston ripoff almost.
Yeah. Well, the Kyle loved it, but it was funny because I like made a triumphant return to Instagram to do a story that night.
I got a lot of interaction off of that story. My
God, so much. And then, a lot of people were like, oh, thank God it looks so terrible. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to like hate on it. I think it's like got a lot of merit and a lot of people will like it. I just personally,
it's not for you.
It wasn't for me.
What was your favorite part?
I think I'm with you in that, like, being pulled on stage kind of thing, like when she's at the big concert and when she decides to go. I mean,
she's like oh.
Oh my god, because my favorite music video, and like this is kind of shameful for not shameful for me to admit, but like I'm a director, so like I'm supposed to have better taste than this, but my favorite music video, one of them is Coldplay, I think it's Fix You, where he like is just walking down the street and then he goes out onto the stage and you're like, oh shit, that's how it feels to be a rock star. So I don't know, I like that too.
Yeah I liked that, and I liked how intimate it was in as far as like it just showed you their relationship, but like wasn't showing you like news headlines or like fan reactions to like, it kept it very insular.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was just like kept it real for me.
I liked that she wasn't like harping on him and like they were like fighting about his like his drinking. It was just when he was a dick and called her ugly that they had that fight. And like,
yeah,
I thought that was like a fresh take on not being making her evil and like mean to him because he was drinking.
Or like a nagging girlfriend type. Yeah. That was also something that I was like, does she as like a character even have the vocabulary for what he's going through? Because it seemed like if I met him, I mean, she at first was like, he's a drunk. Like, he was drunk and, like, following me around. Like, I'm not going to, like, hang with him again. But then he, like, sends his driver very, like, 50 Shades of Grey style. And she's like, oh, yes. I guess I'll go. Whatever. And her dad's like, well, you got to go.
You got to go.
Good, the star is born. And, like, and then... But then she makes a lot of excuses for him. So I was like, does she get that he's, like, really an alcoholic or, like, right. what?
Yeah.
I guess my bandwidth is so low for people like that, especially in, like, relationships. The second they pull some shit, like a fall down, I'm like, peace.
True. Yeah, you have to. It's like, if I've learned anything from Intervention, you have to draw some hard lines and have mm-hmm. some boundaries. And, like, pissing on stage when you're getting a Grammy probably is one of those boundaries.
Yeah, that yeah. moment felt so real, too. Yeah. Like, I felt like I was watching that, and I was, like, embarrassed for everyone.
Have you seen any of the other three A Star Is Borns?
Yeah, I've seen the Barbara Streisand, Kris Kristofferson one.
Okay.
That's iconic.
How'd it compare? Because I haven't seen any of them.
That one feels more like melodramatic, and I think he dies in a different way at the end.
Right.
I haven't seen the Judy Garland one, but now I'm dying to.
Yeah, I want to watch that one.
Didn't she win an Oscar for that?
She didn't.
But she was snubbed for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm a fan. I feel like I really bought into, like, Bradley and Gaga's friendship.
Yes, I bought that. Yeah, I like that. Like, and I feel like...
He's, like, fully bisexual, right? Like, he is. There's no way he's not.
I don't know. I've never considered
They're both
it.
Bi.
I don't think he's hot, so... I don't get it. I don't get it.
You came on this podcast to just, like, riddle me with hate speech. Yeah.
I really just
He's
want
hot
our friendship
as Jackson
to end.
Maine. Jackson Maine. Call me Jack. I really need
what
his voice.
Call you Jackson? Jackson Maine?
I like her name is Allie Maine.
Allie Maine, yeah.
That's a hot name.
Yeah. But again, the wigs and the car. I don't know. What was I going to say? Nice long pause. I forget. Fuck it. Terrible memory.
Allie literally got pulled on the stage, cut an album, got a Grammy, and was on SNL within
that's what I hated,
6 months
SNL
of
thing.
Each other.
I hated the SNL gig.
That
you
was
can't
a
do
little
too like major public like SNL and then also the Grammys. It was like
that was a little much, but then I was like, okay, well, this is reflective of like the world we're living in.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch that movie, like, 40 years from now, you're going to be like, oh, that is what they did back then.
Yeah.
So, fair. Deal with it. What else do you want to say?
Opinions are opinions.
What else do you want to say about A Star Is Born?
God, what else can I say to piss you off?
Yeah, no, what else can you say? Yeah, what else can you say?
God.
I feel like the reason Bradley and Gaga connected is because they both were like, he came out as like gay to her and she was like, it's chill,
right?
I see you.
Yeah.
And now they're like best GFs.
No.
Is my fan
I was like
fiction.
Wait, was that in the movie? I was no. like no you're saying in real life.
Yeah. I'm saying in real life.
Yeah
because I haven't watched any of their interviews, but they've apparently been doing interviews and they like kind of fawn all over each other, but they just have a vibe
right.
It's like you guys know each other's secrets.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Yeah. Could be. Well, everybody's fucking gay in that in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I got mad at somebody on Facebook over it.
Why?
I don't know. Somebody posted something about how men used to dress, and it was Cary Grant, and then like he's in a suit and stuff, and then how men dress today, and there was a guy in some like crazy outfit. I'm like,
it's like,
first of all, there's plenty of masculine men around still. Secondly, Cary Grant was a homosexual in the closet, or at least bisexual, and he was just pretending to be masculine so that he could keep his career. And then I like was like, oh no, I have to like backpedal a bit. And like, also, it'd probably be really hard to find those socks that say meat on them 40 years ago. Ha ha ha, love you. Oops. I shouldn't go on Facebook. You can't do it.
No, Facebook is a place where
it's a wasteland.
It's a wasteland. Yeah. It truly is, like, in a different way than like Twitter or Instagram.
Oh yeah.
Like a different side of people's like troll personalities can come out on Facebook.
Well, it's where everybody like got like
It used to be fun because it was a place to go and be like, hey, I thought of you, or here's a picture of us. And now it's like, here's my personal blog and like people telling people to vote. And it's like, I'm no to vote. Like, I'm not going to vote.
No fucking shit.
Like, I don't need you to tell me.
Also, everyone that you're telling to vote are your friends on Facebook. So it's not like you're really friends on Facebook with like Confederate flag sporting, like. No. Gun-toting conservatives.
No.
Like, you're literally just telling your other friends who see the world this probably the same way you do.
Yes, 100%. But also, my thing is, like, if I'd seen that post, or if she'd shown me this thing in person, I would have been like, haha, that's funny. But, like, somehow publicly putting it out, or, like, it's like seeing photos on Instagram, if you showed me those pictures in person, I'd, like, be super happy for you. But mm-hmm. if you show your I've sort of, you know...
Like, if you see someone thriving on Instagram, you're just like, fuck you.
Well, it's not, it's like, I know you guys have talked about this before, about how, like, some people are like, don't feel bad or weird going on Instagram, and I took a huge break from it. And it's not that I get FOMO or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more that I get, like, it's like I can do well on Instagram when I'm doing really well.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's the same for me.
Yeah, like when my everything's going right for me, I'm like, great, post.
Yeah,
and, like, that's fine. But if I'm like insecure on my, like, if I'm not working or if I'm not, you
if
know,
I'm having a bad day or week or month,
yeah,
like
spiral,
I will not be on social media like posting, but I'll be looking at other people's social medias and being like, why am I not them? Why don't I have what they have? And like comparing every facet of my life to like something I see on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. So the people
or
who are
the
like,
Daily
I don't
Mail.
Get it. I don't get why people don't like it. It's like, well, it's because you're having a really good time and it's really fun and everything.
Because you don't have mental illness. So enjoy that.
Yeah. Have fun. Enjoy. Yeah.
What's life like?
And I don't mind that people, I think you said this, that you tried to be real on Instagram, and you know, I did too, to a point, but like, I didn't post a lot of glamorous things. I post like a spider that I found or whatever, or just like ugly stuff, or just
keeping
things
it real.
I thought were funny.
Keeping it so real with a spider.
I don't know. Just like things I thought were funny mostly. And people, I don't know. It's like,
that doesn't get likes.
It doesn't get
like what gets likes versus what doesn't get likes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, maybe I just need to like, try like do some photo shoots and post like nudes on Instagram.
Yeah,
it's a lot of energy though.
Well, I'm sculpting my body now, and as soon as I'm a, like thought, I'll be able to. I'm gonna post. That's like a goal. Seriously,
yeah, that's like one of the only reasons to get in good shape, aside from just like mental health, is like so that you can post pictures of your body on Instagram and get tons of likes and positive reinforcement.
100%. Yeah, that's. And, but yeah, you have to love your body along the way. And like, that's the real truth. Mm-hmm. And it takes time. Like it doesn't just like, that's the, and you see before and afters of people. And it's like, that's seems like they did it in an instant, but really it takes like,
it's like years. Yeah.
It takes years. And you have to like, just be like patient.
I'm following a really good trainer. I think she's Kim Kardashian's trainer.
Ooh.
And her Instagram handle is Fit Girl Mel.
Mm.
And she's all about like telling you that it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
And she posts a lot of before and afters that's like 2 years apart or whatever, and talking about like her fitness journey and like the philosophy behind it. And that has actually been like a fitness journey I can get down with, because she's like, literally, you just have to be consistent and like keep going and don't give up on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And for years, which is like, just
sucks.
In terms of life lessons, like that's like a life skill as well as a body skill.
Yeah.
But well, like,
you're fighting against years of like where I am of like just eating whenever I wanted and like, you know, just like not kind of not giving up, but just like food is I traveled so much and like was working so much at certain points that it was the only thing that was a constant. It was like the only familiar thing.
Yeah.
Was eating. So yeah.
Do you reward yourself with food?
Constantly.
Same.
But we, cause, when we went out that night to Good Bar, I went to, this is a real babe moment. I was walking home and it's lit near a McDonald's, and I was like, oh yes, Big Mac time. So I ordered on the app, on the McDonald's app.
Oh, I didn't know they had an app. On my phone. Oh my God. That is a babe.
Oh yeah.
And a McDonald's app is on truly, I don't speak that language.
So I ordered my Big Mac and then I went to the, and everything went through. I'd paid for it. I went to the McDonald's. It was just a couple minutes away. And I tried to open the door and it was locked and they're closed.
Oh, but they were still taking orders?
I guess so. Sketchy. And so I was like, oh, fuck it. I'm going home. And then I turned back and I went through the drive-thru on my two little feet.
Walked through the drive-thru.
It was a dark moment.
Did you stop at the drive-thru thing and say, I ordered on my app? Or
I did. I think I stood there for a really long time and they didn't turn on the speaker or whatever because they just thought I was crazy, I'm sure. And then I walked up to the window and I was like, hi, I'm sorry, I ordered something and I can't get a refund, so can I just have my order?
Yeah.
And then somebody was driving through and they nearly hit me. They were mad at me and I was like, they're like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I am a person. I'm a human being, and I have an order, and I'm getting it right now.
And so, I'm on foot. Don't be classist just because you have a car.
Exactly. Oh, and I chose not to drink and drive.
Yeah.
So I'm being the better person. So that was a really dark, dark night for me.
I had a real babe moment this week with a neighbor.
Yes.
So I have a neighbor here. She looks like Nikki Blonsky. Which normally I would really be into, but she has this huge dog that is named Stella. That's I don't know what kind of dog it is, but it looks like it's almost the size of a Great Dane, but it's shaggy.
Weird.
It's not like the shaggy dog.
Is it an Irish wolfhound?
I think it's a golden doodle or something. Oh. It's some sort of doodle, but it's big.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but it's also the first week that she moved in, I think she left it alone a lot. So it would howl, but it was painful howls of an animal that is so sad. Then she decided maybe I'll take care of my dog. So then the dog stopped howling. Uh-huh. But she, for the entire time that she's lived here, has let this huge dog pee and poop in the courtyard of the building.
Ew.
Won't take it out to the street. She lets it
that's rude.
It's really rude. She lets it use the bathroom. Then she was she didn't pick up the poop at first. I guess she just thought a gardener would do it. I have no idea. I was truly you're a monster.
That's so trashy.
Then she did pick up the poop, but she would leave the poop bags by the front gate of the building. Oh. Which is no, what the fuck is your problem? Then I wrote an email to the building manager and I was there's just some literal shit happening. What the fuck? And so she wrote an email to the whole building and left letters on everyone's door that was it is against building policy to blah, blah, blah. So I thought that would just be the end of it.
Yeah.
But for Nikki, it's never the end.
No.
She lets the dog roam around in the courtyard and piss and shit. It pees in front of my apartment in the flower bed in front of my apartment. And then it shits on the one across from me. So I've been just keeping tabs. And then one of the last times that the dog did that, I was outside in my little garden, watering plants and stuff. And I was hey, sorry, but do you think that you could just have your dog use the bathroom on the street? Because I've noticed that it's peeing here a lot and it kind of is smelling pee to me. Yeah. And especially when it's hot, it heats up the piss. And then I get a nice whiff when I walk in and out of the building, to my apartment. And she was like, oh, I can't smell anything. And I was like, well, okay, but I can. Yeah. So if you don't mind, would that be okay, for you to do that? Would that be okay?
You were being very nice to her.
Yeah. And then she was like, okay. So then I thought we had an agreement because we'd spoken and talked about this. But a couple days ago, I was so hangry and I just let myself go way too long without eating. Mm-hmm. And then I was furiously throwing open the blinds in the entire apartment, getting ready to go walk and get food.
Uh-huh.
And as I opened the curtains in my room, I looked down and her fucking dog is peeing right in front of my apartment.
Oh,
and
God.
I was like, this bitch.
Is it just loose out in
she
the
just
courtyard?
Lets it go. Ugh. And it roams around and goes to the bathroom while she stands there and vapes.
Oh,
and I was
no.
like,
Nikki.
Nikki, get a grip. So then I was like, it's over now. So I walked out
Real Nikki would never.
No, real Nikki would never. Real Nikki is a pug. Yeah. So it's very small and she would take it for a walk around the block so she could talk to her neighbors and like tell them what's going on with her life. And they'd be like, go inside, hurry.
She's coming, Herbert. She's coming. Close the door.
Get out. Come on. But Nikki would search for people to speak to and then go home and vape and then get on Cameo in her dark basement and like rattle off a few videos, make $100, maybe snort like an oxy and then call it a day. But Nikki 2.0 just stands and vapes and lets her fucking dog pee and poop everywhere. So then I go outside and as I'm leaving, I was like, hey, so sorry, but like, can you just please from now on just take your dog like out to the street, like out of the courtyard? And she was like, we were just playing. And I was no, you weren't. Cause I literally just opened my window and looked down and saw your dog peeing here.
Psychopath.
Yeah. You psycho. Like, I know you weren't. And like, can you just do that? Like, we talked about this before. So like, I don't understand. And then she was like, well, no one else has ever said that it smells. And like, I can't smell anything. So, and I was like, that's not the point.
You only need one person to say it.
Yeah. And also like, she lives the closest to the front gate of the building. So literally it takes no extra energy for her to walk literally 5 feet out. Yeah. And I was like, after she started arguing with me, I just went into full scary mode.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God. This is actually like a community zone. So like when you let your dog piss and shit in it, it then affects the entire community that have to put up with it. So do you think that maybe you could just take your dog out to the street? Is that okay? Do you think that that's okay for you to do that? Do you think you could do that? And she was just like
trying to get a yes out of her.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, thank you so, so much. Oh, like, that's so nice of you. And then she tried to argue with me again. And she was like, no one else cares. Like, what? And I was like, okay, I don't think that's true, but I don't care. It's against building policy. And the building manager has like emailed you about it. And then she goes, oh, I'm aware that you contacted them. And I was like, I did, because you're letting your dog just use the bathroom. Then I just like went into scary mode on her, got her to agree, and then I haven't seen her since. So maybe she offed herself. Yeah. She's dead. If only. I mean, if she was, that dog would be howling up a storm. Or maybe it would eat her.
Yeah. Pets will eat. Yeah.
Because I don't think that that dog can't like her.
No. No, if you don't exercise your pet, oh my God.
This dog so needs rude. Like a walk.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and just like, I would be so mortified if somebody was like anything about like if I
anything that
left my car in the driveway and blocked somebody. I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so fucking sorry.
Yeah.
Like anything to that inconvenience my neighbors. Like, that's awful.
They don't
teaches these people how to live.
I don't know. Gross. But then because I've noticed too that I think she lets her dog poop in like her private little garden area as well, which is disgusting.
Wait, but like in the little
like thingy, her like garden. Have. Yeah. Oh, everyone has like on the bottom floor has like one of those things.
Yeah.
Cause then I would see plastic bags filled like doggy bags with poop where she would just line them up on a ledge. And I'm like, what is going on with you that you're like comfortable living in excrement?
That's
like
hoarder mentality.
And I was like, you have mental illness. So then if I catch her doing this again,
you're gonna throw some Wellbutrin at her.
I'm gonna be like, open your mouth, and then like mama bird some Wellbutrin down her throat. But I'm also gonna be like, what's your parents' phone number? I'm calling them.
Can you imagine she gave it?
She probably I could probably scare her into it. I can get like pretty big sister like scary.
What if you got Nikki Blonsky to do a cameo asking her to give her parents' phone number? You could run some like long con on her.
Oh my God,
just to get the courtyard cleaned up and her kicked out of the building.
Or just Nikki Blonsky giving her a message that's like, hey, I hear you look like me, and that's not very chill for you to be going around letting your dog. This is great.
Yeah. Or like just make up a full fraudulent lie. Like Nikki Blonsky's like, I've heard you've been impersonating me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have you arrested. If you don't move out of your building.
I love this. I'm ready to troll, but yeah. I'm also like, your parents need to be looped in because do they know you live like this? I don't think that they would be happy.
I bet they don't care. I bet they don't care.
Oh yeah. It's, I don't
that's
think
learned. You have to learn that from somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Her parents probably are like, thank God Nikki 2.0 is in LA yeah. far away from us. They're like, they don't have empty nest syndrome.
No.
They have like celebration nest syndrome.
They took down all their pictures and
put them in the garage.
In the garage.
Took a cruise.
Yeah. Put me like, her room into a hot tub room.
The hot tub room. Yeah. So she really irritated me last week, but we'll see what the saga is. Oh, she's the biggest babe that's in my life right now, I think.
That's awful.
Yeah.
That's bad when they're like in proximity. Like you like have to deal with it in your home space. It's not even someplace you can leave.
Yeah. And also like the lie factor is like, I wouldn't try if someone was catching me in a lie, I wouldn't try to just like continue lying.
Yeah.
We then also, I'm playing. Like, what neighbor in this building do you think likes you? Like, give me a list. Like, you know them. You literally come out to Danny DeVito to, like, stand and watch your dog poop and pee and vape. I've never seen you socialize. So, like, show me the list of who's on your side. But they don't care about a dog shitting in front of their apartment.
No.
You fucking psycho.
Yeah. There's gays that live here.
There are gays that live here, yeah. And they have another horrible dog that barks all the time. Yeah. But now I have to put up with that because I can't have two dog owners teaming up against me. Ugh. So there's just like lots of politics that I'm dealing with.
Can you poison her somehow? Poison the dog. No. Oh my God. Everybody gets so sensitive about
Everyone
animal
gets
jokes.
So sensitive about killing animals. No, like I don't get it.
I don't
want to
kill a dog.
No, I would never.
Dogs. My God.
I like that dog, but I thought about saying like I'm going to call Animal Protective Services.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to call Animal Services because you don't ever take that dog out for a walk.
But they do. Do they do anything about that?
I feel like she's a person that responds well to threats. Like just from like how I took it up a notch and seemed to be like effective to her. So I feel like whatever other threats I can bring in to just like end this situation, like I'm ready to go there.
Maybe she was in prison.
And that's
she's okay
likely.
With like confined spaces and is like, that's why she feels at home in the prison yard.
Yeah.
And not going out into the street.
This is like the plus and minus of the building managers doing like credit and background checks before you get to sign the lease. Mm-hmm. Thankfully for me, they don't care about that. But also unthankfully for these types of residents, they don't care about it either.
They didn't do background checks or they just like saw yours and were like, fine.
They're like, whatever. They're like, prove that you make money. And I was like, here, I guess, like gave them my bank account statements, which were like all over the map. It was like, this person should be homeless, but like somehow miraculously isn't. And like, and there I was like, if you need a cosigner, like I could maybe ask my parents, but like really didn't want to do that. And they were like, no, it's chill. Just move in. Here's a lease. Sign it.
Oh my God.
And I was like, wow.
Landlords are always babes.
They are.
Always. My landlord is an actor.
Mm.
And he was like, when he first met us, he was like, which one of you is the director? I was like, I am. And he's like, well, I'm a fucking good actor and you can put me in. If you got anything you want to put me in, just let me know. I was like,
oh man, that's not how you get work.
The saddest LA story. He shows up in his like weird car wearing like plaid pajama pants and a tank top. And he always blocks the driveway. That's why I was like talking about how inconsiderate that is. And oh yeah, he like, we've been there for 3 years now, and he sent us this email when he came back. He used to have a building manager. He sent us this email that was like, I cannot tolerate late rent anymore. If you send your rent late, I'm kicking you out, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I've never sent rent late. Like, I've sent him all of the bank statements, everything, like all the times I deposited to him. And he's like, well, it takes like 2 to 3 days to process. So from now on, you have to do it 3 days early. I'm like, oh my God. You're crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah. He's scary.
Yeah. I have other friends that have like crazy landlords like that, that get like lit about rent.
Yeah.
But I pay, this building takes your rent online. And then one month I got so behind that I was just like, I'm not going to pay it and just see how long I can go until someone says something. Ooh. Because A, I just didn't have the money. And B, I was like, we'll see. This will be a good experiment. And then it was like, I think like day nine, then they send like the pre-eviction notice that they're like, you have this many days to like get your rent in or else like you're going to be evicted.
Oh, shit.
And then I was like, cool.
Guess I'll go do some stand-up comedy sets.
Yeah. Cool. I don't know how I like managed, but I did. And then I was like, noted.
Wow.
So
that's scary. Have you been evicted?
Ever? No.
No.
Not yet.
No.
Knock on wood.
It's coming.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, I think we both thought we'd be billionaires by now.
I think, yeah, I feel like, well, I feel like there, if you'd asked me back in 2011, mm-hmm. like right after I got a book deal, mm-hmm. like where I'd be by 2018, my answer would be very different from what it is now.
Yeah.
So for readers who need like a little bit of context, Graydon and I are like trailblazers.
Internet meme. Or I'm like granddaddies of memeing.
Granddaddies of like memeing in the Twitter age, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, and not to like toot our own horns, but no, like this is actual like history.
Yeah.
So like Google it.
Yeah.
But I started a Twitter account called White Girl Problems, mm-hmm. and Graydon started Shit Girls Say.
Yeah, with my boyfriend Kyle. We started the Twitter account, and then we made videos.
What blew up first, the Twitter account or the videos?
The Twitter had like 65,000 followers when we put out the videos.
When did you start the account?
2011.
What year?
Like February or March or something. I remember the first day that we started getting attention, it was posted on BuzzFeed, like on Kate and William's wedding day.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And like, I was freaking out because we were getting like thousands of followers. And then Mindy Kaling and Emma Stone and all these people started like, and BJ Novak were all like tweeting, and Lena Dunham were all like retweeting and tweeting at us. And I was like, oh shit, this is happening.
Oh my God, major.
Yeah, yeah, it was major.
So White Girl Problem started before that.
Yeah, I remember seeing it. Well, it's so funny because I always thought of you as like not competition, but like an you know, you were before us, and I always like thought of us on a similar level. But yours was more like you were creating more original content, and we were observing.
Well, it was both observing.
Yeah,
because it all came from a place of like, let's make fun of. Like, for me, I was like, let's make fun of like white women, and specifically like the kind of white women that I really loved to like watch were housewives and any like reality show babes.
Well, and they so were crazy.
Yeah. And it's like then spawned into like a fictional character and like became this whole other thing and like is now like God knows what. But like it was in that early stage of like when you could make a Twitter account and people would like go nuts for it and like write things about your Twitter.
Yeah.
Which is like, I can't even imagine that happening now.
Oh my God. It's so over on Twitter. Like people get hundreds of thousands of retweets and then they get like five followers from it and it's terrible. And
I feel like Twitter now is like storytelling based. Like the only people that I can think of that have had like big Twitter successes in the last few years are the Zoller Moon, who did that long kind of, you remember that long story that it was like, she was, I think, doing like sex work.
Oh, she was stripping
and had like a crazy Florida adventure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was incredible.
Yeah.
And then Dear John, I guess, or not, is it Dear John? Some ghost, Dear Andrew, or some guy, some white guy, like, I think was having a ghost in his apartment. So he was tweeting about it. And like that got a lot of traction.
Right. Yeah.
But then I was like, what's happening? Like, yeah. I couldn't find the thread. And then it was like, it got too confusing.
Yeah.
But those are like the only people, like, you don't see any sort of like really meme-y Twitter accounts anymore.
No, not really. But that was the time of like old man search. Remember the guy who was like, I told my grandfather it was a Twitter was Google, and like kind of those concept accounts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But we never set out to make fun of women. We were just like noticing this way of speaking, like more so than like,
yeah, but it was like the millennial, it's kind of like millennial women,
yeah,
and like making fun of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, like the only criticism of the account that I didn't like, and we were like, once it started getting big, I was like scared that, you know, I was worried that it, you know, might be offensive, but it was embraced pretty well. But the only criticism I didn't like was saying that she was stupid, because it's like, she's not, everyone talks like that from, you know, everyone. I talk like that. Everybody talk like that. But yeah, anyway, so we both blew up around 2011, 2012.
Yeah. Peaked, I would say, 2012.
Yeah.
But like peaked and also shattered, because that was like a best and worst year of my life. The book came out, but also like a lot of horrible things happened that year, so it was a real balance
to do with that.
I mean, no, just like horrible life stuff. Like a good friend of mine committed suicide, and I broke my ankle and had like a really bad facial accident where I like drunk and fell on like a bar. Like it was like a whole year of injuries and successes, like a high low mix.
Oh my God.
And then just like the process of working on white girl problems became a living nightmare. And then it like the dream completely fell apart.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then I was left to pick up the pieces, which has been like the past 4 years.
Well, it's a full addiction, not addiction. It's just like a dragon chasing thing where like, will you ever experience that kind of high ever again?
Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows? And I think I'm feeling more positive about it than I have before about like the possibilities.
Yeah.
But
what's interesting, like when you're like fresh into your like creative career and then something pops off, like, cause I assume we're like the same age ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're like a year apart.
So for me, it was like, I had been just like living in LA for a couple years, trying to like work in film, but always like tangential it, like thinking I wanted to be a producer, then realizing no, I hated that, like that's absolutely not what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Then trying to like figure out how I was gonna be able to have a career in writing without like knowing anyone, like, and then that seems completely insurmountable because it's like you have to have something kind of like breakthrough in order for anyone to give a shit about you. And just being like, oh my God, then starting this thing as like a joke and then having it blow up and truly having like everything come together quickly. Mm-hmm. It was like A Star Is Born, where everything happens so fast.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh my God, like I want to like make a book out of this. So like I'll work really hard to like help to like make sure that happens. And like, I want to do this and I want to do that. And like, I'm just like invested in like the creative side and I don't want to deal with any of like the business stuff. And like, you might end up signing like terrible contracts or like working with really bad people that take advantage of you, but you kind of like shove that away because you're just like, whatever, like, this is so important to me and like, this is my dream. So it's like, I'll take a hit if it means that I get to just like do this at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And then you realize that like all those decisions that you made on the way are going to like haunt you for the rest of this process of this project.
Mm-hmm.
And then you either like make peace with that and I guess go forward, or you're like, I can't do this anymore. And like that phase of your life ends. And then you're like, oh my God, I'm back at literally ground zero. Yeah. It's as though none of this ever happened.
Yep. Yep.
And so then you realize how much of like a lightning in a bottle those types of experiences are, because that's just like not how things go normally.
No, it's winning the lottery.
Yeah.
You know, and you go through the same kind of thing. If that happened to me now, I would have such a different way of going about, you know, everything that came afterwards. But, it's truly like winning the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cause I just thought like, oh, this is how it goes. Like if you just have a good idea and people like it,
and then you're set for life.
Yeah. Then you like can make stuff or like write books or like option like your writing to be made into a movie, and like everything just like works out.
Yeah.
And then that was a real like, that spoiled me, because that's
totally
just never how anything has ever gone for me again. Like it's a definite, like, it's just like you're, it's like a climb, it's like rock climbing or something like that, or like scaling like the face of like a crazy cliff with like no rope. You have to just move really, really slowly, and you make like a little bit of progress at a time.
Yeah.
And then when maybe you're like 60 or 70, you like look back and you're like, wow,
I did it. Well, and that's the other thing. It's like, and you know, readers out there might be like, oh, how can they complain about their careers? And I don't think we're complaining. It's just being honest. It's just like,
I'm
lucky to be where I am, and I do have opportunities and things like that. But until recently, I was super hard on myself. That's what it was too, because everything I've made since is always going to be compared to that, either by myself or by other people. And there's always a question of like, why can't I achieve that again?
But I think that's you that compares it back to
for
that.
For sure. And that's like, more I've than stopped anything. Like getting, I'll still always probably compare, but I'm also not discounting anything anymore. Like I used to not feel like I felt like I hadn't accomplished anything since then. And that's just absolutely not true. I've accomplished
a lot.
That's not
true. Yeah.
So it's just like, it's a real mind fuck for sure.
Yeah. I think also we're just living in a different internet culture now than we were back then. Like, I don't think that now you'd be able to create something called White Girl Problems, without starting like just a shit storm of like, it's just like a different lol culture.
Yeah.
And like, and that's a good thing. But I also think it's like different in the sense that like things don't go viral in the same way that they used to.
Well, we had like 2 million hits on the first day of the video coming out, which was at the time like insane.
Yeah.
And now there are so many YouTubers and so many channels that get that just like regularly.
Yeah.
It's just how it goes for them. So,
and there's like so many more niche corners of the internet that it's like you really have to, you just have to do so much more to get that kind of attention.
Yeah.
But what's been interesting for me is like I've been able to do things that have gotten like minimal, like have had like these little viral moments elsewhere and like different like on Instagram or like Please Welcome to the Stage, which is like definitely reassured me that it's like, okay, I still got it. You know what I mean? Like I can still lol and like make things that people respond to on the internet, and like I can still like, I'm still good at comedy.
Yeah.
But like,
of course.
I don't know. It's just hard when you feel like, it's just hard to see something like, it was like I experienced a death almost of just like losing the ability or like the ability to keep creating the voice of this character that like was so close to my heart and like my sensibility and like a voice that I loved writing in so much. And then it was also like, I had to figure out how, like, what is my own voice?
Yeah.
Because I wasn't writing as my own voice. And so then it was like a lot of questioning of like, am I just like knocking off my own words and like sensibilities as this thing? And like, how do I distinguish the two? And like, what if people read things that I write and they think like it's not as funny as like these books were? So then I had like a lot of insecurity around that, and still do sometimes.
Yeah. Well, it's weird when people know. It's like, you know, my family can't ask, or like my sister's a lawyer, my other sister works in banking and finance, and you know, we don't get to see how well they lawyer or, you know, how well they do. And they're, I'm sure they're, I know they're very good at their jobs. But when we put something out, it's like very vulnerable to have everybody see and judge what your work is. And it's like scary to do that when you've done something that has gotten so much praise before.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I like you're comparing yourself always a little bit to it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, what is the healthy line? Like, I do believe that you should only compare yourself to yourself and like be trying to like one up yourself at all times. Or like, if you're going to have competition in your life, it should be like with yourself.
Yeah.
Which is easier said than done. And I don't think that that's like the kind of world we live in where everyone is very much compared against each other. But like, as like a creator, a creative person, like, your probably path of like to most happiness is like just try and do better, like one up yourself at all times. But like, where's the line between doing that in a healthy way and then doing that in like a not healthy way?
Yeah, like a desperate,
like a black swan way.
Yeah. Well, like, I think it's Fiona Apple who said that the greatest, or comparing yourself to others is the greatest violence you could do against yourself.
I like that. Wise words from Fiona. Love her.
Usually
her
she
back.
Doesn't have very wise words.
Fiona is definitely a babe.
Oh my God.
But
no,
one of
she's
the
not.
Best.
No, no, I don't think she is. She's
now
a babe
she's
exclamation.
Oh, okay.
For me. Because I listened to her Marc Maron interview on WTF.
Okay.
It's fucking amazing. And
okay,
she is so sweet and so funny. And like, she's just like, people are always worried about me and I'm totally fine. Like,
oh my God.
It's
yes.
So good. She's not a babe question mark. She's like amazing. She's, and cause it, she's like, everybody thought I was doing heroin and she just, it's just rumors about her. And like, everybody thinks I'm too thin. She's like, I'm perfectly healthy. I'm totally fine. And
well, she like, was just like a fragile bird. Like she like, and I remember seeing her in concert to bring even back again to like, she opened for Coldplay.
Oh my God.
Back in like 2006. And I saw, I went to that show and it was incredible. And she is like an amazing performer, but she obviously gets really emotional.
Yeah.
And then like during musical breaks, she would like step away from the mic and just be like screaming into the abyss and like crying. And then at one point she like crouched behind a speaker and was crying. And I was like, okay, like something is amiss, but like, love you, but like, are you okay? But maybe that's just like her stage vibe.
Maybe.
Like she brings it all to the stage, unleashes in her own Fiona Apple way, and then walks off and is like, let's get pizza.
It's over. I did it. Yeah. I think she just lets it out. And maybe it's more now, like she's a little bit more chill and has stepped away from everything a little bit. But
yeah,
she's my fave.
She's the icon.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but listen to that. It's amazing.
Okay.
She's
well,
so,
listen to
she's
that.
She's so funny. She's so sweet.
What is, what would you do if you weren't like writing, directing, like what if you had to choose like some other creative thing, what would it be?
Creative thing,
or what I mean, you could say anything, but like
making miniature cube worlds out of out of your thing.
You're basically Toni Collette in Hereditary,
yes,
but with little miniature cube worlds.
Transparent.
Tell everyone about your cube worlds.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited that
did you work on those anymore?
I haven't yet because I haven't I haven't been working, but I just had that job in Canada, so now I can afford to get more tools because I need an orbital sander and stuff. So what I do is there's this like resin molding, like it's clear resin, and I have these cube silicone cube molds, and I pour the resin in, and then I put little figures into the resin, and then it like hardens and makes this glass looking cube. It's very like dense and hard, and it looks like glass, but it's resin, it's plastic, I guess. And and then the one that you saw is just like
a test.
Circle of trees with another tree floating above it, and I'm just
spooky. Yeah,
kind of. I don't know, there's no, but it's just like having control over that one tiny thing where you get to do everything and nobody else gets to.
Yeah. In a tiny little ecosystem.
Yeah, it's just like a control freak thing.
How long do you have to like place stuff in the cubes before it starts to harden?
So like you have to do it in layers.
Oh, okay.
And I'm trying to, like, my layers have lines in them, and so I'm trying to figure out how to make it look seamless. But
can you mix it like as you layer it, or that would disrupt, like...
No, you have to like do it like my biggest cube is 2.5 inches cubed, and so it's you have to do like an inch at a time basically. Mm. So that it
settles.
I have a bigger one. Maybe I have a 5-inch one. I can't remember. So that it will harden. Otherwise, it will take like days.
Okay.
And then, so it takes like an hour, I guess, per layer, or 20 minutes to, I forget. It's been a while since I did it.
Since you've cubed?
Yeah, since I cubed. But like I press like the one tree in, like you have to plan it because you do it upside down. And you have
okay.
And what's going to go in the yeah. layers. And so I pour the first layer in, and then I hold the tree there until it hardens enough that it's standing on its own.
Okay.
And then I pour another layer in and put more trees wow. in. And then, yeah. And then we'll see where,
cubing.
See where it leads. Yeah. It's going to be, I'm going to be a major artist.
That is art. You need a lot of time to cube.
Yeah. It takes a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carving
and then
out
it's the one you saw isn't even done. I have to like, now I'm going to buy an orbital sander and sand it down and polish it. And
oh, then like, so then it becomes a
like
sphere?
There's like wires sticking out. So that it's just a super...
So it's just a cube.
Warped. Yeah, so it's just okay. a cube.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's
this is exciting.
That's what I
feel
do.
Like
what
you've
would
chosen
you do?
Something that's going to be a very slow burn.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're going to get the immediate, like...
Well, if I could do anything else that would make me money, I would do that. It's very meditative and peaceful.
Yeah, I like that.
Uh-huh.
What would I do? Getting nose drop. Have my nose on the billboard.
Yeah.
I'd try and sing, maybe.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good singer. Mm-hmm.
I was inspired by A Star Is Born. I was like, if this is what you have to do to meet a mumbling hottie
yeah.
that believes in you, sign me right up.
I also love that she was like, I don't sing my own songs. Like, she has an amazing voice from the very first second. There's like, it's not like she's a wilting violet. She's like doing a cabaret thing. Anyway, but
immediately she also like had songs that she sang.
Yeah.
So I was like, bitch, come on.
Out the deep end.
Watch as I dive in.
There you go.
My feet never leave the ground.
That's your audition. Amazing. Yeah. Any readers out there who have ties to Warner
Some
Brothers music.
Said recently that if I sang again, they were going to stop being a patron.
Oh, that's so rude.
I love it.
Oh, no.
Should we do some reader mail?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Lara, my queen and guest, today's confirmation of a sexual predator to the Supreme Court is obviously so disheartening. Oof. And this administration is doing real long-term harm to the country in so many other ways. I've been thinking for a while now about where America is going, in particular, if this is the beginning of some kind of end. So I'm writing because I'm wondering if you or others are thinking the same. The U.S. has been the leading world superpower for what, 80 to 100 years? And if you think about it, how many other nations in history dominated for longer? I can't think of any in modern history. Sure, nations have survived and even flourished much longer than 80 to 100 years, but they haven't dominated longer than that. Obviously, our country is so severely divided that it's hard to imagine how things will improve. Extreme right-wing voters only seem to gain power, and their ideals will now influence the government for a long time. Example, Kavanaugh. Every environmental policy, economic policy, etc. made by this administration. All this leads me to go down the what-if path in my mind. I find myself doing this all the time now. What if the economy really tanks because our government is unstable? What if they overturn Roe versus Wade? What if they overturn Obergefell? How do I pronounce that?
Which one?
Obergefell versus Hodges?
I guess we don't know which one, what that is.
I'm like, reader, you're officially too smart for me. What if they overturn over? I think that's like gay marriage, maybe.
Oh, I should probably know.
Yeah,
that
you better
one.
Know it.
But I'm Canadian.
Yeah, you'll have an interesting answer to this.
Mm-hmm.
And when the influence of a dominant nation starts to falter, there's always a long period of political and economic decline. I wouldn't want to have to survive through that, and certainly not without civil rights. A refugee journey is not for me. So for the past few days, I found myself Googling how to immigrate and have been comparing various countries. Am I babying out over this? To be clear, I would never consider immigrating right now, but if people's civil rights are threatened, I think I might. Like, if SCOTUS agrees to hear a case that will take away my marital status, I'm a man who's married to a man, I think I'd have to leave the country. What do you think about this? Well, you don't have to really worry.
Well, some ways I do. And Obergefell, yeah, sorry, that is same-sex marriage. Now I'm filled with shame for not knowing the case name. But I did watch that documentary about Prop 8. So I may have to worry because I'm here on a visa.
Okay.
And it's possible that it won't get renewed next year. So you're an immigrant. Because I'm an immigrant. I am an immigrant. And for the first time, I've been like, okay, that might not get approved.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're cracking down so hard on visas. And so, yeah.
You damn terrorist. I know. You gay immigrant.
So it's funny though, because when I go home to Canada, people always ask me what it's like to be in America under Trump's regime. And it's sad. It's weird, but haven't directly yet felt the effects, other than being like, wow, that's super scary. If they overturned Roe v. Wade, like it's so strange to see things go so far back,
mm-hmm,
after things were going so forward so well with Obama.
That makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
Absolutely no sense to go backwards in that way.
No, it's just like, yeah. What has same-sex marriage hurt? And I don't know. It's just, yeah, that's super scary to see happen. But I also think that there are the same problems in Canada right now. There's a conservative premier of Ontario who's awful. He's the brother of Rob Ford, the crack smoking mayor.
Oh, love.
His brother is now the premier of Ontario.
Wait, which one of them are from Canada?
They're both from Canada.
Oh, but one came here. I just didn't know that you could like be in like government in America if you were.
No, premier of Ontario in Canada.
Oh, okay. But then his brother was the mayor of New Jersey?
Of Toronto.
Oh, the mayor of Toronto.
Yes.
Anyways, yes. Well, we got real political and you cracked me pretty early.
This might not be the right podcast to ask your political questions.
You're like, what do you think? And I'm like, well, don't you have to be American? And they're like, we're not talking about that anymore. Okay, anyways. I got confused because I was just thinking, looks wise, that crack like smoking mare looks like Chris Christie kind of to
me. Oh, yes.
So then I got confused and was like, similar Chris
silhouette.
Christie.
Yeah.
Fat crackhead. Definitely. Anyways, go on.
Anyway,
it all makes sense to me, and that's all that matters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I just think everyone has to watch out for it everywhere in the world right now. I think it's not just in America. And I admire that you aren't necessarily going to emigrate now, because being here and showing up to marches and things like that, and being able to call your senators and being able to vote and take action in the country is, I think, important.
Yeah.
But I don't judge anybody who would fear so much that they wanted to leave. You know,
it's definitely
reasonable. It's very reasonable.
It's scary to think about, like, I don't want any of my rights to be taken away I don't want anyone's rights to be taken away.
No.
And to think that it would actually get to that place is terrifying. But every day when something bad happens, or like, especially with the Kavanaugh stuff, you just like get, like, people like to say like, oh my God, women have come so far and like blah, blah, blah. And then you have a week like, or the last like few weeks when you realize that like, No, they really haven't.
No.
Like, if you have to get put on the stand at a hearing and like tell your truth only to get like mocked by the president, and then have like your attempted rapist be on the Supreme Court
and who like crying pitched a during fit. His, yeah.
Oh my God, what a fucking little baby.
Oh yeah, everybody else is a snowflake, but this guy.
Yeah, this guy's like crying, carrying on, like can't keep it together. Like, that was a class. I was like,
literally, you could not be more of an attempted rapist than in this moment. Like
make yourself the victim. Yeah, my life is in shambles. Fucking good.
Idiot.
Great.
I hate you.
You're terrible. And I just saw something about like how many times he lied during his testimony versus how many times she lied, and she didn't lie at all. Like anything that was verifiable. And just about like articles about how difficult it would be to make something like that up. Like,
yeah.
The fact that he was there with those specific people on that night, like, looking at his calendar, like, she couldn't, you know, when Trump made fun of her, because I don't know, when he did that whole thing, it's like, she doesn't remember everything, but very important facts that can't be made up, she remembered.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. It's crazy.
But it's like, what do you expect? That's like another, like, person that basically said like grab them by the pussy, like he doesn't care. And like that is an actual, I feel like, very representative of a huge chunk of men in America that don't care, don't think that that kind of stuff is bad, or they think like, oh, it happened forever ago, like can't you just get over it? And it's like, no, it doesn't work that way. And they have no ability to see it from a woman's perspective, because it's like the chance of them being in that position is way slimmer than a chance of like a woman being in a position where she's like going to be sexually harassed or assaulted or made to feel like uncomfortable in that way.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, we need to all make enough money where then we can get out when need be.
Yeah. Like, I love anybody who says they're voting for a politician because they're a good person, or like there's morals, or they're a family person, or because of religious values. But then as soon as something comes out about them that's immoral or what, they're like, oh, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
Anyway, I know. Yes. And it feels like every Republican just like doesn't care. Like
about
that is like your party hates gays, hates women, is like pro rape.
Yeah.
Change my mind.
Yeah.
Because like from what I've seen, you're all just pretty fine with it.
Terrible. Well, and also, I've been listening to Slow Burn, which is this podcast about
Clinton
and Lewinsky thing. And like, if you've ever seen Primary Colors, and I know it was a book, I haven't read the book, but they're like ruthless people. The Clintons,
ain't great.
No, they're not great.
No.
And just seeing it cast in this new light, like Democrats have shit going on too. Barack Obama did some bad things too. You know, it's not like everybody's perfect, but, to see the whole Lewinsky thing in this new light, and like to hear Linda Tripp talking about why she did what she did, which, you know, is still kind of in a gray area, but yeah, it's fascinating. And it was going on. It's been going on forever. People are treating women like shit. It's
women can't catch a break.
Nope. Sorry.
I mean, Bridesmaids came out in that boat that we thought it was going to be great after that. You're like, wow, women are funny. They do contribute something. But nope.
Yep. Still had a male director. That's the problem.
Oh, man.
Oh, gosh.
When will women finally be valued? Ever?
Question of the century.
What country values women the most? Feel free to weigh in. I don't know.
That's a great question.
That's the readers. Place that I want to go.
Yeah.
Or just like go to Europe, I guess. Like where would you go?
Even Switzerland didn't give women the right to vote until 1974 or something. Like there's crazy things. It's wild.
Yeah, Europe is kind of crazy too.
Yeah.
Brexit. I was just thinking like maybe Australia.
Ooh, no.
Australians.
Oh my god, they're super. I mean, not to generalize, but they've got some race problems.
And shout out to the Australian readers.
Yes, yes.
Love you.
Love you.
Need to do a Australian moment with you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some problems there.
There's nowhere to go. The only place to go
everywhere.
Is you swan dive off of a beautiful cliff in Big Sur and call it
bye.
Yeah, and say bye. Hi, Lara, an esteemed guest. This is the relief work babe who wrote in when Tierney was the guest to ask about taking a trip with some conspiracy theorist friends who were trolling me about Al Gore and global warming not being real. You guys gave me great advice that I should bring my husband and ditch those psychos. I just wanted to let you know that I took your advice and something truly miraculous happened. After years of trying and being told that I would never conceive naturally, I did. I'm not sure if it was your powerful moon synced energy that did it, but I'm thinking that couldn't have hurt. Anyways, just wanted to say I'm so thankful for the advice, and I'm not opposed to naming my baby Lara or Tierney as tribute, or maybe both. Love and light. P.S. Oh, obviously things could change, but my due date right now would make my baby a Gemini like you. That doesn't feel like a coincidence.
Oh my god. You made a miracle happen.
Oh my god. I'm literally making babies.
You're a baby maker.
I truly don't even feel the need to have children of my own.
It's like a comedy journey. Yeah. A stand-up comedy journey. You didn't have to do it.
I didn't have to do anything and reaped all the benefits. And this is the same thing.
I feel like a mother.
I do.
Oh.
What if I try and sue you for the rights to your baby?
Oh my god.
That'd make a good drama.
Yeah. Well, it's like, have you seen Top of the Lake China Girl?
No.
Oh.
Is that there's
surrogates in
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's a surrogate for my spiritual daughter, Lara Jr.
The second. Lara the second.
Congratulations. That's so exciting. I'm glad you ditched those psychos. People that don't believe in global warming.
No.
Are babes.
Well, this much snow. What's all about that global warming?
Sorry, not to generalize about Southerners.
No, it's okay. But I'm like sad because I don't think my mom believes in global warming.
Oh,
and I'm
Linda.
Like, please.
Come on.
Please just believe in global warming. Please.
Well, yeah.
She doesn't.
That's dark.
I know. I don't know what to say. There's nothing else to say. Oh, here's one.
Are you just picking these at random?
Well, no. These are ones that I starred for this episode.
Okay.
I love how you've mentioned your love for this movie, Mother. I'm taking a deep dive into Mother. Could be a total babe moment for everyone. Just a suggestion. Live, laugh, love, light, red wine, wine, friendship. Love, though. Love.
Love, though. That's a great sign off.
Love, though. I love Mother. Did you love Mother?
I enjoyed it. I don't think I want to watch it again.
Oh my god. I've seen it twice. Would see again.
Yeah.
I tried to show my mom Mother. She didn't love it. I was like, Mom, it has Christian undertones. It's like based on the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I thought she'd like it.
Oh my god. It's a really dark take on the Bible.
Yeah. But she didn't Bible's like dark. It. Okay. Oh my god. Hi, this is a huge, huge email to be getting. Hi, Lara and friend. It's me, Linda Brunaller. Get it? Brunaller? Brunaller actually has a brew story for you. So, wait. So, background for the readers. When Ed and I started talking about brews, we had one listener named Linda that I originally thought was my mom because she'd commented, like, you guys are better than this, like, blah, blah, blah. She did not like any brew talk.
No.
And then we sidebarred and we worked it out, and then now she's coming around with a brew story of her own. So this just goes to show you that brew is universal.
Oh yeah.
Brewniversal.
I brewed myself at Runyon Canyon.
No.
Yes.
What happened? Like a shart or a full-blown?
We went for a hike.
No.
And
what had happened?
It was brewing.
A storm was
like
brewing
halfway up, and I was like, we have to turn around. And then
you and Kyle?
Yeah.
So you turned around.
Being so candid. And we got out, and I think we were on one of the streets coming out of Runyon. And I just had to duck between two cars. Oh,
no. On the street?
Yes.
No one passed?
No, thank God.
Oh my God, that's
like,
such a
there
busy...
Was no, there was a miracle. Because...
You just made me ring die.
7 seconds after hearing this story, you will die. It was. That's not attractive, and I don't care. I've got a boyfriend.
Wait, how did you wipe? Just a question. No way.
When I got home.
Did you have to throw your pants away?
Oh, yeah.
You walked home.
Well, what about, like, I'm not going to get in an Uber. We didn't have a car at the time.
You walked back to the east side?
No. We were living on the west side.
Oh, my God.
We were in WeHo, so it wasn't that long of a walk. Oh, my God.
A hot post-brew walk for miles and miles with a no wipe is
awful. And, then...
And you're just like, well, that happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, I love Hollywood.
Well, the glamour.
Yeah.
This is the life I knew I was going to live. So that's everybody's got a brew story.
Everyone does have a brew story. I still haven't fully brewed myself, thank God.
But I luckily
it's going to happen.
I mean, I got my pants down. It's as if like I was on the highway and like was stuck in a traffic jam. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, you just let it go.
I feel a little bit bad because doesn't rain much here, so somebody probably had to host it.
Someone definitely like came out and was like, "Is that a human shit?" And they probably then convinced themselves it was just like a big dog.
Just a big dog.
They were like, oh, maybe that Nikki Blonsky girl's been walking her dog around here. We all know how she loves to leave her shit around.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Yeah. It was a bad moment.
Well, at least you didn't like fully.
So you're whoever so wrote you is, that Linda, whoever Linda is. Yeah. So is this is definitely stopping Patreon.
Linda's brew story. So I'm doing my rebounder trampoline workout, as one does, jumping and jamming to faves such as Prince, My Name Is Prince, Gap Band, You Dropped It, Bomb On Me, and Dead or Alive, You Spin Me Round Like a Record, when suddenly the brew must have vertically thrust from a central stomach area to imminent need for ejection. I thought of you, of course, and said to myself, ha, I have to tell Lara that the brew gnawler now has a brew story too.
Oh, this is Linda. This is Linda. Oh, okay,
yeah, this
okay,
is
okay,
the
okay,
Linda. So I leapt off the rebounder, did my lady business, and continued back on. Then it happened two more times that session. No, I was not amused by the timing of the brew, but I was very impressed with the efficiency of the human body. So please advise all the readers that jumping on a small rebounder trampoline is the natural cure for constipation, as discovered by brew gnawler Linda. Love and hugs and eternal thanks for all the lols from the pods. Oh, aww, Linda.
She's a convert.
I was
a little grossed out at first, to be honest, too.
About yours? Podcast. What?
With the Ed Brew stories. Yeah. And then I got on board.
It's a lot.
It took
no
a minute.
No one wants to brew.
No.
But everyone.
But we all do.
We're all brewers. Yeah. No shame. No shame as you like sweat.
Oh, port. I'm just constantly sweating. That's my natural nervous state.
Hi, Lara and Graydon. Avid reader, first-time caller. I discovered all of your podcasts a few months ago and have just finished wading through the archives of all. Even after listening to hours and hours of content, I honestly wish there was even more. Your perspective on most things is often eerily aligned with my own, and there's so much that you've touched upon over the course of Babe that has really resonated with my experience, along with making me snort lol like a freak while walking home from work. Thanks to you, I now have become truly insufferable about my use of the word journey, which none of my friends appreciate as much as they should. I massively value all that you put into the world and hope you never stop turning out Lemaire quality content. So, okay, I have three separate things I want to discuss with you. One is a topic that has not yet been broached on the pod, and the other two are just babe celeb encounters that I thought you and the fellow readers would appreciate. Please, 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 I implore you, keep me anonymous. One, over the course of my time listening to Babe, I've been going through my own life journey and recently got a new roommate who I didn't know beforehand. She's fine and we get along decently well, but the biggest difference between us is that she's an avid improv head. Before I moved to LA, I never really thought that much about improv, just that I wasn't a fan. But since moving here, improv and its culty vibe has become so much more of a presence in my life. I fully don't understand the appeal on any level. It's 100% unfunny. Most people that do it are insufferable. And there's so much weird improv jargon that the improv heads like to use in conversation. I could go on and on about how fucking cringe-inducing I find it. So my roommate is in an improv troupe and has been having the troupe over for improv rehearsal, which sounds like an oxymoron, honestly, at like 9 a.m. on Saturdays. At first, I okayed it because we were just getting to know each other and I was trying to be a good roommate. But gradually, something that I thought was going to be a one-time thing has become a regular fixture.
Oh, no.
It's honestly kind of nice to have an incentive to get up and get out of the house on Saturdays. But there's a part of me that wants to be like, I would prefer that you not do this in our shared space because I think improv is one of the worst things a human being is capable of doing.
It's like worse than if they were doing heroin or something.
I'd rather have a heroin moment. I'd be like, can I have some? JK. Not that depressed, but maybe save someday, some for me later.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're quieter at 9 a.m. Yeah. They're either asleep or dead. What's your take? Should I stop being a judgmental bitch? I'd love to have you weigh in on weird improv culture in LA. And if you were a closet improv head, I'll only judge you a little. I think improv in general is a massive babe. I took an improv class. Like, I feel like whenever, I've said this before, but like whenever I'm like floundering and having a question moment in my life or career, I take like an acting class or an improv class. And so I took like level one US USB, UCB. And it was fun. I mean, I like those classes because there's always like an outlier freak in them. That's like Tommy awful. Wiseau. Yeah, just like someone that's really bad at it but doesn't understand how bad they are and thinks they're really good.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of pleasure from that. And then it's also a fun way to meet people. So I've met some lollers that I've kept in touch with, and like that was chill. But like in general, I don't super like I was just like I don't want to pay a lot of money to like learn this like game. Because it's a very formulaic way of improv theater that they teach at UCB. So I was just like, for as far as like the cost was concerned, I was like, if it was free, maybe I'd be more down. But it's not free and like just not my brand of lols.
Yeah, I'm not as like judgmental about improv as I used to be because I'm just not around it, I guess. I don't know. And I did improv in high school. And we were on a team that like was, I don't know. It was fun. It was fun in high school. It was super fun. Mm-hmm. And I can see how it's like addictive in like that you have this group of friends that are just having fun being funny the whole time.
Yeah.
But taking up your space with it, that's not okay.
No. At 9 a.m. on a Saturday is a hard pass.
It's very rude. And just go do it in the park or something. And that's...
In the park. Do it in a street corner. You're like, do it in the middle of a highway or something. That's real improv.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta think quick on your feet in that highway.
I think you could strike a deal that's like maybe every other Saturday. So like you get to have the Saturday you want and then they can have the Saturday they want. Because it is like their shared space.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Can't necessarily like say no outright.
Yeah. You can't like fully veto.
No.
But you could just say like, is there a way that you could cycle this to like other
zones? Or just do it later or just like. Yeah, that's 9 a.m. Saturday. That's your weekend. That's your time.
Yeah.
Is there a rehearsal space they could go to?
That you would seems think to that be there
like,
would
if there's
be.
A bunch of them, go to like where they have they're like piano rental rooms or something mm-hmm. and like pay $20 an hour and do it for 2 hours and you pay $3 each or something.
That's a
good solve. There's got to be spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Little dance hall. Ukrainian town center, like churches have their basements
churches, you can rent out. Yes.
Like, then they can be as loud as they want. They're gonna like have more fun.
Yeah. I feel like it's like suggest like do a light suggestion and be like, this is kind of disruptive and like I'd prefer it if we just kept our home on weekend mornings. Cause I assume that your roommate probably also has some sort of job as well. So it's like
well, they're an improv, so
but I mean they as a day job, you know, I think. So like just be like, this is kind of disruptive and like love your passion, but like let's both agree that we don't do this kind of stuff in the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then like
that seems fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like a group gathering every weekend, that's a lot.
That is a lot. 9 a.m.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean in LA too, it's like I don't know, it's kind of I feel like you're more if you're going to a show of improv, it's usually people that are pretty decently good at it if you're paying to go to it.
Yeah.
So then I have fun like watching it. I lol.
Yeah.
Okay. Two, I know that you and the fellow readers are all invested in Misha Barton's journey, and I'm happy to inform you that I'll be your conduit in this particular case for a funny babe story about her. I work at a co-working space in LA, which is pretty bougie and chic, but it has also provided some very silly C to D list celeb encounters. One night I was working late and there was an event going on in one of the smaller event spaces. I was walking back down the long, wide hallway leading from the bathroom to where I was working when I hear a voice loudly saying, "Excuse me," over and over. I look up and there's Misha barreling down the nearly empty and very spacious hallway with her arms fully extended out on either side, taking up as much space as humanly possible.
Oh my God.
It was only me and one other person in the hallway, but Misha was making herself so wide that we both had to step out of the way on either side to avoid her hitting us with her arms. There was no logical explanation for why she was walking like that. That's all there is to the story, but I'm obsessed with it as a juicy little nugget of pure babe energy.
Oh my God.
Wow.
That's a great
Misha's story. Whole life is an improv.
Somebody, like, she thinks somebody whispered to her that she's the whitest woman in the world.
Yeah.
You're the whitest woman in the world, and you have to walk down this hallway without touching anyone. Excuse me.
Excuse me. She's also, like, just, yeah, she's taking prompts from just the voices in her own head.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah. She, God. But she's going to be on the hills.
I know. Thank fucking God.
Yes.
I might have to do a special, like, sexy, unique podcast spinoff episodes that cover the hills now that Misha is on it, because she falls into my, like, now I'm like, okay, I'm actually grateful because, like, the resurgence of these, like, 2007 It Girls is providing a lot of future work for me, because I can just do, like, sexy, unique podcast, The Hills, sexy, unique podcast, Lohan Beach House.
Yes.
So there's a lot of babes on
the
horizon.
Did you already talk about going to Uncommon James?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Guess what I'm wearing? My Uncommon James ear cuff.
Oh my God.
Which I was going to make that my patron giveaway this month, was going to be an Uncommon James gift certificate. But then I was looking on their website, and, like, all of their stuff is, like, sold out, which is a lie, because that stuff is, like, it's not like they make it in house. Like, it's ordered. You think it's ordered from Alibaba.
Yeah, I do. I think she gets those copper mugs from Alibaba. I really do.
You're an Uncommon James truther.
Common James.
Common James.
Very common and very affordable if you're not buying it from there.
Ali Jaw Jaw. Ali Jaw James. I was trying. Aww. It didn't work. Sorry.
Wait, but it's the Michonnaissance. She's coming back.
Michonnaissance and the Lohan. How is Misha going to fit in to the crew of the hills? Like, are they going to try and make it like she knows them? Or
is she going to dress? She's going to dress like Kristen.
It's Misha, it's me, as Kristen Cavallari.
Yeah.
Because, like, or are they just going to film Misha completely separately from everyone else? And she just has her own, like, little mini show within the show, which I would love.
Oh my God. Or they just, yes.
I have so many Misha thoughts, concerns, questions.
Always a concern when
Always
it comes to
a concern. Her video where she was like, "Welcome to the hills, bitch," was like,
I didn't see it.
Oh, I'll show it to you. It's really out of control.
Yes.
Okay, three. When I was thinking about what to write into the pod, I realized that my most involved celebrity encounter is a story is also one of the most babe moments of my own behavior. I couldn't resist sharing because I love being humiliated. Last year, I went to a fancy exclusive art event that a friend who was working on the event got me and our other friend into. The event had two open bars and was taking place in the middle of the day on a Sunday from like 12 to 4. These are important details for the story. So as my friend and I are standing around eating the free food, who should slide up next to us but the very ridiculous 90s rock star who I don't want to name. You can insert whoever you think is funniest. Why are we not naming?
90s rock stars, yeah. Name it. What?
90s rock star. Gavin Rossdale?
Oh.
Or I thought the guy Mark McGrath.
Oh my God. Or the guy from oh shit, what's that? Crazy Town.
You're my butterfly, sugar.
Come my
baby.
Lady, come my lady. Okay, so Gavin, butterfly, or
Mark McGrath.
Mark.
Okay.
Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray.
He proceeds to tell me that I'm the most beautiful woman he's seen in a long time and asks if I want to go on a date and gives me his number. I think he made me send him a text in his presence so I didn't give him a fake number. Okay, that's not Gavin. Gavin Rossdale, I don't think. This sounds like a Mark McGrath move.
Yeah.
We had kind of a weird conversation beyond that, and then he walked away, leaving the event but encouraging me to go out with him soon. This encounter was super unexpected, and so, feeling anxious, I accelerated my drinking. I stayed at the event, and while I was there, he began texting me, along with following my Instagram account. My Instagram has some pretty slutty content on it, so he was immediately commenting on that and basically was urging me to just go straight over to his house right then.
Oh my God.
Here I should mention that I've never been attracted to this musician at all, but I do love the idea of a celebrity boink. I knew at this point that I had to disclose to him the fact that I'm a trans woman. As much as I hate the concept of passing, I'll just say that most of the time people do not immediately recognize that I'm trans. His answer was not the chicest and sent me into a total spiral. Fuck. I don't do well with rejection in general, and rejection based on being trans is like a double whammy. Oh. Plus, the combination of alcohol and the bright midday sun weren't really helping to keep me feeling sane. This is recipe for a true babe down.
Yeah.
I feel it in my bones. My friends took my phone so that I would stop obsessing over the conversation, but that ended up being a bad idea because I darted away from them and hid on a weird balcony fully crying while they searched all over the building for me. I kept avoiding them and running back and forth between two bars, downing mimosas in one gulp, then running to the other bar to repeat the process. I had something like 8 to 10 drinks and I'm a real lightweight, so I was very schwasty at this point. So after being a big sloppy mess at this fancy event for a while, finally I was in a huddle with all my friends crying openly, and this truly unattractive man with a huge long ZZ Top style beard inserted himself into our huddle. What? He asked me why I was crying and I whipped around with raccoon eyes and snapped, "So-and-so rejected me because I'm trans." This dude was taken aback, but started being like, "Oh, that's fucked up. He shouldn't have done that. I would never do that. You're so beautiful," et cetera, et cetera. And gradually I found myself first holding hands with him and then pushing him into a hedge and having a cringe-inducing, wet, sloppy public makeout.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
After one more messy public makeout in front of the building, my friend pulled me off this dude and into a lift, and we went back home. Remember, this was at 4 p.m. I got in bed in a total sex blackout state and was furiously sexting with the creeper dude while also sending 90s rock star very psycho and humiliating texts trying to get him interested. Oof. Finally, I passed out, waking up with a wild hangover at 8 p.m. I never talked to the 90s rock star again, but I do still have his number and always contemplate sharing it more openly to troll him. I'm so sorry this ran on so long, but I hope you enjoy the ride. Love and light. Oh, babe.
Oh.
Yes, Lara, I remember in an earlier babe you were lamenting lack of female friend group. Let me know if you ever feel like adding a raunchy, goofy, deeply over analytical blonde trans babe to your circle.
Yeah.
Yes, the answer is yes.
Of course.
Unlike Mark McGrath of Sugar Ray,
we're naming him.
Yeah, we're naming him.
Naming him for you.
Who was it? Was it Brett Michaels? I'm done. I need to know. You need to say his name.
90s rock star. Was it somebody from Third Eye Blind?
Probably. Or who was the one that performed at the inauguration? Three Doors Down?
Oh, yeah.
Probably one of them.
Yeah. Some Republican fuck.
I hope it wasn't Gavin, because I feel like he would be down.
Gavin's got his problems, but he seems like an okay person.
Yeah.
Overall.
He's like very open minded and like just down.
Yeah. Yeah,
sexy is sexy to Gavin.
Yeah. And he wouldn't be, I don't know, that line of like, "You're the most beautiful person I've seen in a long time" is so like, I don't know, it's such a like,
yeah, I love
that. It's untrue, but it's like,
yeah,
just hello is good.
I know, but also it's like, if that's your opening line and then you reject after that, like, yeah, you're just a liar.
Douche.
Because if it truly is the most beautiful person, you don't care what they have going on.
Yeah.
You're just like, "Tell me everything. I love it. Yeah. Let's be together forever."
Yeah.
If you're fucking somebody, a Star is Born style.
Yeah.
Bradley was down with Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
She had her thin eyebrows. He let her put them on.
Wow, he's so open-minded.
That truly, I was like, this, if a guy is not willing to let me put mascara and a thin eyebrow on him,
mm-hmm. He's garbage.
He's fucking garbage.
Yeah. If you're that threatened, that's it. That's just somebody who's like, own shit.
But I understand very much feeling rejection and then internalizing to it to such an extent that it forces you to like babe out.
Oh yeah. Well,
that's like good, my that's game, a good babe always out. My game plan. I love making out with a crazy old bearded man. Chic. Write me back and tell me who the 90s rock star was. We need to know.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's all that we have time for today on this episode of Babe. But thank you for being my guest.
Thanks for having me.
You have to come back.
I'd love to.
And for the readers, if you're dying for more Lara and Graydon content.
Doing improv.
So I know you guys love it.
We are improvers.
Yeah, we are improvers. Yeah. We're comedians.
Yeah.
We have a YouTube channel. Like, I die right in the
middle. Saying it. We're the oldest people on YouTube.
We're the elderly generation of YouTubers.
Yeah.
But we have a channel called Influenced, so yeah. Check it out.
Yeah.
You can type in influence.life into your browser, and it will pull you right into our wild world.
Vortex of
lols.
Yeah. And big things coming for that channel.
Yeah. We have exciting things that we're doing together. We have stand-up dreams that you'll never see
until
you're ready to see them.
Yeah.
Which is when we decide.
Yeah.
And tell everyone where they can find you.
I'm everywhere is Graydon Shepherd on Instagram, on Twitter, which is a dying medium. But I'm making my way back to Instagram and my website, GraydonShepherd.com. So GraydonShepherd.
Love. Yeah. Look him up. Lol.
Lol. Lol.
Yeah, you won't be disappointed.
No.
Think about him brewing in between two cars.
Yeah, and also remember that I've met the president.
Trump.
No.
Obama.
Obama.
The real president.
Yeah, I met the president.
If you like Babe and you want to be a supporter of this podcast or a patron of this podcast, you can do so by going to www.patreon.com/babepodcast. You can get in on a level that's like for $5 a month, you'll get a bonus episode. You'll get entered to win Babe giveaways like Uncommon James gift certificates.
Oh my God, so worth
or
it.
I hook people. Last month, like I hooked people up with my psychic. So there's like, it's always ever changing. I also have a Babe book club. Ooh. And right now, since it's October, we're doing spooky books. And it's exciting. We choose a book every month and then we have a Google Hangout where we all get on FaceTime and like talk about whatever we want and like talk about the book, and it's a good way to be a real reader.
You're so generous with yourself.
Thanks. Yeah. I love connecting with the readers, and I also was like, I want to read.
Yeah.
So, and also if you have any questions you want to write into the podcast, you can do it by just writing babepodcast@gmail.com. So there's a lot for you to check out.
A lot for you to think about
after this. A lot for you to think about after this is over. And yeah, love and light.
Love and light.
Bye.
And laughter.
Love, light, and laughter.
Bye.
Bye. Babe?
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.